Hello, this is Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast, and today this is a very special episode because we've got something that's different coming up this week. You know, typically we are always talking with magicians and talking about magic and everything. Of course, we're going to be talking now about the television show that's such a phenomenon here in the United States, Breaking Bad. And I'm going to have a few guests who will be kind of giving their thoughts of what they think is going to be happening on the final episode. But first off, I've got as my guest, Sean McMaster. Hey there, Sean, how are you?
Good, Scott. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Yes, you bet. Well, I wanted to get you on because I was just talking with Stan Allen earlier today on another matter, and he was saying that you were a big fan. I think he was saying there was something that you were going to be on the show or something. He said, well, will I be finished in time to get back to watch Breaking Bad? That was like your priority.
Well, yeah, the whole reason I think it was on the top of his mind is because I just covered the Magic Live convention for him.
Yep.
And wrote it for the magazine. It just now came out, and yeah, in the magazine article, I mentioned that the convention was beginning on the very first day of the final, you know, the first episode of the final episode, the final season of Breaking Bad, and I would end up missing it because of the convention.
Yeah, that's not good on either side, to miss the convention or to miss that episode. Well, you know, now let me ask you, have you been watching Breaking Bad since the very first season, or did you kind of jump into it midway and catch up, or what?
Yeah, I have to confess, I think I joined about season three, or midway through season two, I think. But yeah, I caught up with it pretty quickly, and then have been have been hooked to it ever since.
Well, was it because you had heard other people talking about it? You decided, hey, I got to get in on this and I want to find out what it's about?
Well, yeah, and you know, you hear that with other shows as well, but this kept coming up, and everybody was raving about it. I mean, yeah. I never heard anything bad about it. You know, other shows, when you're hearing the hype on the top, you'll hear, you know, a lot of that, but then you'll hear some people go, well, you know, I'm a little indifferent to it. Nobody said anything bad about Breaking Bad. Everybody, including my most conservative friends, were saying, you got to watch this show.
Yeah. Yeah, I had heard a lot of things about it as well, and I'm one of these guys who watch a lot of TV shows, and I feel like I've already got enough stuff I'm watching right now, and I kind of hate to get involved in another series, but at some point...
Same way.
I decided, okay, I've got to jump in. But, you know, I've got to say I am perhaps the most late Johnny come lately to this whole Breaking Bad party, because literally we just watched it all through Netflix, and starting season one and went through on season eight it was split up into two seasons, so we watched all of the seasons just before the second half of season eight began, you know, live on television here. And so we sat down, and my wife and I sat on the couch, and like all weekend long had like a Breaking Bad marathon. It's one of these things like, okay, just one more episode. Okay, one more, then we'll go to bed. It's 2 a.m. Okay, one more, and then we'll go. You know.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I did the same thing. I was streaming them as fast as I could, and it was one of those things where I got to get work done, man. I can't watch another one.
But that was what's in the back of your mind. It's so cool. You know, the thing is, of course, it's about meth and, you know, drugs and everything, but the funny thing is, you know, my wife is saying, this is addictive, you know, the show itself is addictive.
Yeah, man, yeah, for sure.
Really get hooked on it, and so, again, for those listeners who are kind of wondering what the heck we're talking about, yeah, it is quite a phenomenon, and it's something, of course, that it has won many Emmy Awards, and just most recently this past weekend had won the lady playing Skyler had gotten the Best Actress, and then, of course, the series itself won for the Best Drama.
I think Aaron Paul, I have to say, Aaron Paul was ripped off at the Emmys. I really think he's a terrific.
Yeah. Now, has he won in the past? I know that Bryan Cranston has won.
I'm not sure. I believe he has, but it doesn't matter. I mean, his character has grown leaps and bounds since the show began. Mm-hmm. And especially this tail end, I mean, this last season that the Emmys were for, he was phenomenal. He's a phenomenal actor, and the character was just very, you know, very full of emotion, and it was a very powerful character, and I think he deserved it.
You're talking about for Jesse.
Aaron Paul.
Yeah, he did have just a whole range of emotion. But the whole season from start to finish, I think Vince Gilligan had said, is that right, Gilligan? I think it is. Had said that this was going to be a finite series. I mean, it's going to have a beginning and an end, and he's going to go from Mr. Chips to Scarface, you know.
Right.
Kind of a thing. So,
Vince Gilligan even said that, I think another testament to Aaron Paul's character is that Jesse was supposed to be killed off, I think, in the first or second season.
In the second season, I think you're right. Mm-hmm.
Very early on, his character was supposed to be killed off, and very quickly they learned of the chemistry between these two characters and very wisely kept him around.
Well, that shows you the strength of his performance as an actor, certainly. And another one that came on that was supposed to be, I think, just a kind of almost a walk-on or a short-term thing is Bob Odenkirk, you know, as Saul in season two. That he came on and just he was so popular that he's been on. And I understand there's going to be a spinoff with Better Call Saul.
I just heard that today, yeah. And that character is so wonderfully slimy that you can't help but like the guy, you know?
Yeah.
Even though you hate him, you kind of admire him. You kind of like him.
Kind of like a slimy magic dealer. It's like, oh, yeah, you need to buy this. Yeah, okay, well,
exactly.
I Xerox this guy's lecture notes, but I can sell it to you cheaper, you know?
Yeah.
As I said, here we are as magicians. Of course, we're good at keeping secrets and performing our secrets and everything. And right now that each episode unlocks new secrets and things that are just amazing. Of course, in this final season that there are things that are being completed. I mean, just like, now again, for those of you who are listening and have not watched all of the episodes or are not up to speed, there will be some spoiler alerts. I'll tell you right now, you might want to either kind of turn off because we'll talk about certain things, and I'll count backwards from 3, 2, 1, so this way that you can turn it off now, because 3, 2, 1, when Hank got killed, you know, that was pretty incredible.
Yeah, that was you know, I don't get really emotionally wrapped up, I mean, to the point where I feel physical pain, but oh my God, I mean, that episode when he said, do what you have to do, and didn't even finish the line, and the gunshot went off, and you saw the look of horror on Walter's face.
Right.
It was just, it honestly turned my stomach a little bit. I honestly felt queasy. And I don't do that. No matter how wrapped up I get in the movies and TVs, that one just kind of turned my stomach. And I felt slightly ill for a short period of time.
Well, when you stop and think about how many years we've been emotionally, well, you in particular, I've just been a few weeks emotionally involved, I guess, with the characters, certainly, that I can relate to that. I know exactly what you're saying. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, that you keep thinking, okay, well, he's a character, you know, and that this is a TV show and they're not going to die. I mean, you know, and first of all, you know, it's like when the show opened and Gomez was laying dead, I thought, oh my gosh, they killed him. And then later when they put the bullet, you know, through Hank's head, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, there's no end to this.
Right, yeah, and it's just, and that's the beauty of this show, is that, you know, you started out rooting for Walt, and throughout the entire run of this program, you know, there's a point in time where you start questioning your own moral values, you know,
yeah.
and the characters have flip-flopped so expertly, it's amazing, because you started off really liking Walt, and you know, thinking Jesse was this, you know, loser kid, and suddenly you're now rooting for the opposite people. You know, you didn't want Hank to find Walt, and man, you sure did at this point in time.
Yes, yeah,
it's
exactly.
Amazing. It's amazing. It's one of the best written television shows, hands down, that I've seen in many, many years.
Oh, so many years. Oh, I agree with that. And along with Hank, you know, the fact that he had, I thought, just, you know, this relationship that he had developed, you know, with Walt. Walt was kind of the standoffish kind of a guy a little bit. So whenever that Hank, you know, I thought was going to forgive him, and, you know, because he didn't turn him in, you know, right away. And so
right.
I thought, well, maybe that he's going to let him go and give him a pass or something and say, you know, because it was not going to be good for either party. I think if he would have been turned in with that tape prediction that, the tape revelation that he had made. It was kind of funny. Yeah.
Although I like the fact that you slept with the tape prediction, boy. That is commitment to your art form.
I'm thinking about my show coming up this weekend, I guess. Speaking, you know, I think it's kind of interesting. We're talking about Hank dying in the desert, and right now you're driving through the desert. You're in Nevada right now, driving through the Nevada desert. Is that right?
Well, actually, No, no. I actually I came out of the Arizona desert, okay. And I'm in California. I'm driving through Palmdale and Lancaster on the way back home.
Okay. I was talking with Doug Kahn, who had come through. He's out of New Orleans and was lecturing. He's on a lecture tour right now. And was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, lecturing just this last weekend, last Saturday. And he was staying in a hotel, first of all, on the tour, and he missed the second, the one where Hank died. And so when he was here, we were talking about it. He said, don't tell me because I haven't seen it yet because the hotel where I was staying didn't have AMC. So when he was staying in Albuquerque, you know, he said, well, I'll be able to catch up with it because I showed the episode before, you know, last week's. And darn it, the same, that hotel didn't have the cable either, so he hadn't seen either of them. So in the meantime, he downloaded and paid for, I guess, the last week's episode, one before with Hank dying. And so now he's trying to catch up, and he's going to buy this one. Hopefully I can talk with him then tomorrow and kind of get his take on this then, too, because he's kind of committed. The fact is, it's just kind of – in fact, he had posted on Facebook a picture of a car wash there, and I don't think it was A1, but, you know, there in Albuquerque as he was passing through. So, you know, I was on Elaine News Facebook a few weeks ago. He had posted something and saying, here are the characters, here's who I think, here's what's going to happen, you know, live or die, you know, what do you guys think? And he kind of had a poll. It was amazing about how many people had responded and everything, and going to try to get a chat with Elaine later before this when I get this all edited together. But I think one of them was Hank, that he had predicted was going to get killed. So let's go into what you think might be happening here this next Sunday night.
For the final episode?
Yeah, what do you think?
I'm never really good at predicting these things, but I would not be surprised. I mean, I hope that Jesse lives. I really have grown to like that character, and he's been through hell with this guy, yeah. And I honestly really hope that character lives. However, I would not be surprised if the way the show goes, that Walt dies of just complications due to cancer. I mean, and nobody gets the chance to really, you know, take him out. Hmm. I hope that doesn't happen. I mean, because that could be completely opposite side of the coin. He could, just knowing he's going to die, just throw himself out there and allow them to just blow him away. And either one, I think, would be perfectly satisfying.
Well, let me ask you this then, Sean, because he went back to his house. You know, they always kind of show a little bit sometimes the beginning of an episode, and then they come back to it later. And a couple of weeks ago, it showed him going back to his house and the neighbor lady, you know, going crazy. And then he went in and, unscrewed the light socket over there and pulled out that ricin that was in there.
Right.
Remember that?
Right.
So I'm wondering.
Yeah, I actually forgot about that. But, yeah, you're right. He did pull that out of the light socket or the outlet. And it's possible that when he grabbed it, I remember seeing it. You know, when you mentioned it, I'd forgotten until just now. But I remember when he took it out, I do remember thinking that, you know, this is a way for him to take himself out, maybe. I mean, just guard against, maybe, you know, as a cyanide tablet, something like that. Just to pop it in and go, and if he finds himself in a situation he can't get out of, cancer hasn't taken him.
I'm thinking that because he is, you know, self-medicating, giving himself his own chemo now,
right.
You know, when he was out in New Hampshire, I guess, Granite State, that he was, and now this next week's going to be coming back to his house. So he's got unfinished work. So what I'm thinking perhaps that he's going to be going and trying to release Jesse and saying, get out of here, and then he's going to drop the ricin, and then he's going to die eventually with these other guys, you know, who are the fellows, you know, the Nazi guys who killed Hank,
right.
And take them all out, and that way that, and as far as the money goes, man, I don't know what's going to be you know, happening to all that, because, you know, there's that drum of money, and he had told that other guy, you know, who was in
there's like six others, aren't there, or something like that. I mean, that those guys have, so
that's
what
he said.
Going after.
Yeah, he said I'm going to go back and get my money back, so he needs to get that. And I'm wondering if he's going to – I can't remember the name of the actor, the fellow who was in you know who I'm talking about, who was the guy who was fixing him, who changed his ID, you know, gave him the new passport and everything, is driving him back and forth.
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't remember the actor's name right now, but yeah, I know who you're talking about. Right.
Yeah. He had won an Academy Award then for in a Quentin Tarantino film, Jackie Brown. Remember?
Okay.
Anyhow, he had. Seems like that he was going, trying to work out something with the money. Maybe he's going to, that is, Walt will arrange with that guy to, you know, have the money, and he's going to roll out those cans, those barrels of money, I guess, and set up some sort of a trust fund, you know, for his family, you know, because I think his son will be okay. I think his wife is going to get off the hook. I think Skylar will be okay. And I think your sister-in-law, Maria, will be okay. I just think, you know, it's when Vince Gilligan's talking about Mr. Chips as Scarface, you know, I'm thinking, okay, Scarface kind of pretty much, you know, committed suicide and was trying to take out as many people as he could at one time. And so that's why I thought he might do this ricin thing, you know, try to get rid of as many bad people as he can.
Perfect possibility. I'm no good at predicting these things, but I'm telling you, like I told you when you called me about being on here, I'm in this thing for the long haul, boy. Because it is, and honestly, it hooked me early on, and I have not stopped watching it since.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine another series I will be so totally emotionally invested in as I have been this one. That's true.
I know, yeah. You know, of the three series of this kind that I've followed in the past, I mean, the first one, Sopranos, I followed that, and the ending to that, when they ended the series, a lot of people were upset about the ending. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a perfect way to end The Sopranos. I mean, of course it would end that way. I was also a big Dexter fan. That ended last week.
Yep, same
here. I was a little indifferent about the ending there. I haven't decided whether I liked it or hated it yet. You know, I'm not quite sure. But this one, I know this is going to be a very satisfying ending to the show. Because everything about it has been satisfying. Even during the times when it was gruesome and it was negative, it was all very satisfying. And I'm looking forward to the end of this thing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, yet, you know, a little bit of it with melancholy from the standpoint, well, it's over, you know, golly, there's not going to be anything quite like it. Same thing like with Dexter. I've been a Dexter fan. Now that I've watched since season one, you know, forever. That was one of those things that could go on and on and on, as opposed to, again, this is a finite show, you know, it has a start and a finish. And you know that, you know, bad is not going to win out, you know, in this whole thing. Whereas, you know, Dexter is something that could have gone as long as that they wanted to do that. And as far as the season ending on that, of him going out to sea, spoiler alert here again for Dexter fans, for him going out to sea. 3, 2, 1. Here's a spoiler. That whenever he went off, you know, I thought that that was perfect. You know, I told my wife, yeah, that makes sense because he's going to die. I mean, he doesn't want to, you know, have his family, you know, or anybody else that's around him, his loved ones, to be hurt. And I thought that's fine. But then when they almost had that epilogue and he's, you know, a lumberjack,
yeah.
I'm thinking, what the heck? You should have stayed dead.
That is exactly the way I felt at the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know quite what they were trying to do with it. That's why I sort of haven't decided whether I liked it or hated it. Because up until the point in time, you know, before he appeared, you know, stepping down off of a logger's truck, when he went out into the storm, and she was reading, even the part where she was reading the newspaper and all that stuff, it could have ended right there, and it would have been perfect. I don't know now. You know, I don't know what they were trying to do with that little epilogue.
It's almost as if they're leaving it open for something later to come back. You know, for him
but why? I mean, they could have done the same thing without the epilogue. He could have appeared as if he was dead, and they could have brought him back if that's what they decide to do.
Yeah.
You know, they could have explained it away. They explained it away at the end with him being a logger up in Oregon or wherever the heck he is.
Well, it's like, I don't know, if you happen to have watched the pilot for the new series of Marvel, the Avengers, S.H.I.E.L.D., that, Coulson had gotten killed, you know, during in the movie by Loki, and then he's alive again. And he just said, oh, yeah, well, we just made it look like I did, and that I'm okay, they fixed me up, and whatever. It kind of blew over that part just in a few sentences. And it's like, okay, I guess you can, it's a fictional character, what the heck? It's a cartoon character, they can come back to life, you know? And so they could have done that with Dexter, you know?
Yeah, the Dexter thing could have ended with him going into the storm, and that would have been it, and it could have been left up in the air. You know, you could have believed what you wanted to believe.
Exactly.
Instead, they forced their idea down your throat at the very end.
Like with the Sopranos, again, that left it open to, you know, what happened. Did he get shot or not, you know? Well, okay, let's kind of tie all of this back into magic, if we can, Drew, just briefly as we kind of wrap up over here. And that has to do with, you know, what kind of emotions should we create in our audience, you know, whenever we're performing? Do we want to leave them, obviously, with a satisfying and pleasurable experience whenever they leave? But do you try to work in emotional hooks and things so this way that that you will tug at their heartstrings with certain things and then make them laugh certain? I mean, do you kind of take them through as you would in a series or a movie or whatever? Or what is your show like?
I try to. I mean, most of my show is, you know, I'm basically comedy magic, and I try to make them laugh at the same time. But yeah, I do share a bit of my, you know, my story, my personal background and my history with my audiences. And there's a point in time in my longer show where I do kind of a monologue piece, and I talk a lot about, you know, how I got involved in magic and how I didn't set out to become a professional magician. That's just the way my life went, and I'm doing it because I have to do this. And that's a little bit more of a personal and emotional piece, if you will. I mean, I'm not trying to make anybody cry, but I am trying to share my inner story with them, you know, and be true to them, be open with them at that point in time. I mean, up to this point in time, I've been, you know, this goofy guy on stage, and before I finish up with the really big goofy piece, I'm going to be honest and open with you for a little while.
I think it's important that if you're going to get to have the audience love you, you need to be vulnerable, I guess. You know, I remember, for an example, Mark Kalin in his show when he sits down, you know, on a little chair and does the billiard balls and talks about, you know, something his mother liked and he practiced when he was a little kid and whatever. And that's a very emotional kind of a thing. And it works great, and it breaks the fourth wall, you know. And I think that's important, particularly for stage magicians when you're, as opposed to, well, even in close-up, I mean, there are things you could do to try to break that fourth wall. But I think the more things you can do to have emotional hooks that will keep people invested in watching your show and tell others about, hey, this is a really nice guy. You know, the best compliments I think we can get when you say, well, how'd you like the show? So I like it. What'd you like best about the show? They'll say, I like it all, and I like you. You know, you want people to like you because you want people to come back and book you, not just a generic Muzak magician kind of a thing in the background.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
Well, okay, I want you to start keeping your eyes on the road over here. Your mind has been
flitting
around here. So. Okay, very well. Well, thank you very much, Sean. And for people who want to get in touch with you, your website is what?
Okay, my website is the name of my company, which is Conjured Up Creations. So it's just www.conjuredupcreations.com.
Conjuredupcreations.com.
Right.
Perfect. Very good. Well, Sean, thank you very much for your time, and I appreciate you talking while you've been on the road. We really don't know what's going to happen. It's still a secret, but we'll try to get everyone's take on this.
At this point, I lost Sean in the wilderness someplace there in California, apparently into a dead cell zone, but he did want to express his appreciation for being on the podcast as well, and also to remind the listeners that he is the editor of the Mandala magazine, and you can look at that and subscribe to the digital magazine at themandalamag.com. That's M-A-N-D-A-L-A, themandalamag.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for The Magic Word, and today, of course, we're having just a very interesting discussion about the television series Breaking Bad, and the guest I've got then right now is Elaine New. Hello, Elaine. How are you?
Hey, Scott. Nice to be with you.
And I appreciate you being on this. And the reason I wanted to contact you is because I know that you're a fan, because I was seeing on Facebook where you had posted the number of the names of the characters who are in the cast and saying, here's what I think is going to happen. This person is going to live or die. What do you think? And it kind of generated a pretty good discussion. How's that turned out as far as what your predictions were?
Well, got a great discussion and lots of hits on Facebook, but the truth of the matter is that I've already lost on two of those counts, and it could be more. Basically, I thought that Hank and his partner would still be alive,
Gomez.
Gomez has both bit the dust already and early on. So at this point, who knows what Vince Gilligan has up his sleeve, but I'm really enjoying the series.
He's quite the magician himself, I think, with all the secrets that he has. And just when you think you've kind of got something figured out, just like we're the audience, of course, and we think we know what's going to happen, that they've got something else that's like, oh, I didn't see that one coming.
Man, I tell you, it's just it just hurts so much every time someone you love just all of a sudden dies, and you're just completely blown away. I have to say, it's probably one of the most amazing. I heard it did really well in the Emmys. I would not be surprised at all if it got several awards. I'm a big fan, and I think that though I'm not really too much of a television watcher, I have been following that one show.
Yeah, you know, it after the Emmys this past weekend, and it did win for the best drama series for the season. And I just spoke with Sean McMaster, and he was talking also about the passion. You say, you know, you fall in love with the characters, and he said that he watches television series and shows, but he's never been emotionally invested in any show as much as he has this one. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there too, Elaine, where you say that you love the characters and you kind of hate to see what's happening, and sometimes you love to hate them or you hate to love them, you know?
Right. And there's a complete transformation in really pretty much all of the characters from the beginning of, you know, season one till now. And I was devastated when Skyler all of a sudden says, "What's one more?" And, you know, in regards to killing off Desi, and I'm just like, "Oh my God!" You know, they not just one person has, you know, quote unquote, broken bad. It seems like a number of characters have just crossed the line, and it's been very fuzzy. And, you know, at the same time, you know, just you see how it plays out and how
that's true. Where you can almost see that a person who is morally righteous and a good person and whatnot, but then for whatever moral justification they may have, I mean, like in Walt's case, I have cancer and I need to provide for my family and I'll do anything in order to do it. It's almost like, is it right to steal bread for your children if you're starving? You know, at what point does bad become good, you know, and is it right? Or is there ever a time, you know, for that? And just as you say that she has decided to, okay, well, what's one more? It's almost like, you know, someone who's then become a serial killer. I mean, after you've, the hardest one's the first one, they say, you know. It is a very emotional series, that's for sure.
So as a person who might make predictions, what are your predictions for what happens next after this past season?
You know, this last week, there's a series that is on after Breaking Bad called Talking Bad, that's live. And, each week that Vince Gilligan, talks about, okay, here is a preview of what's going to happen next week, but he never really gives away anything. But last week he said, I'll give you one word, woodworking. And I thought, okay, what the heck does that have to do? But do you remember then, Elaine, that Walt was down under his house, you know, building something or, you know, false floor or something. And, of course, remember he went back to the light socket and pulled out that ricin. And I'm wondering.
Right, that's the beginning of the fifth season. He does that. His hair is back. You know that he's gone through a time period in which the cancer has either gone into remission or something has occurred, you know, in which he's still alive. And so you know from the very beginning of the season that until you start to see him with hair, he's going to be, you know, still alive, and that stuff is going on around him. The fact that he takes the ricin out gives you the clue that he's probably trying to get someone. And so now the question then becomes, is it the crazy Todd squad?
Yeah.
or is it gray matter?
Ooh, hadn't thought about that. That's a good point, that he was up. That's what kind of was the trigger when he was sitting in that bar and he decided to give himself up. But then when he saw his friends from Grey Matter kind of dissing him, saying he had nothing to do with it, and then that's when he kind of, you know, fortified himself again. And then I think he's going back. And so I don't know that he's going. I'm thinking this, that Elaine.
Yeah, because the only thing that they said that he came up with was the name. Because of their black and white turned gray, and that's the only thing that was his only relevance. I think that kind of had him a little ticked off.
More than a little, yeah, I should say. But I don't think he's going to go back after them. Remember also that in that television interview that he was watching that kind of triggered that emotion here in this last episode, I think that if he was going to do something now, he's going, you know, remember they were going to be giving away like $23 million or something, you know, to drug rehabilitation or something. And so I'm wondering if he goes back then with this Ryson to the Todd Squad, because, you know, it's kind of like with Scarface again, you know, it's what Gilligan had said, that it was going to be from Mr. Chips to Scarface, you know, which he kind of put himself in the line of fire, trying to take out as many people as he could, knowing that his life was going to be taken as well. So I think that he might go back then and drop this, you know, have it planted someplace in some sort of woodworking thing, perhaps, I don't know, or invite those guys over to his house and then have them open the drawer, whatever. I think that they're going to all die. However, that the guy, I can't remember the name, but the guy who was the actor from Jackie Brown, you know, the guy who was at the end, who is helping Walt change his identity with the new passport and everything. I think that he's going to Walt is going to have him make sure that his that his family is taken care of, and B, that some of the money then that they give more money to the charity than what Grey Matter does. In other words, that whatever you guys thought you were doing, I'm going to do twice as much. Because remember, he was going to say he was going to go back and try and get his money back, you know, because they gave him like $11 million. He's got another $80 million or whatever it is, you know, from those guys and those barrels of money. So I think he's going to go back and then he's going to make sure that that he shows them up. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I didn't think that. I don't know if it'll quite go in that direction. That's for sure. I think that he's too selfish and too changed as a person. Though you know, who knows? Maybe that's the twist that Vince Gilligan has up his sleeve. Maybe he's the same Walt all along. Maybe it's always been the same guy, but just on different wavelengths. You know, I think that's really the brilliance of his character. It's amazing to watch how he's transformed. Though I have a feeling that I don't know. I mean, on Facebook, one person posted that that perhaps he'll be the only left survivor, and who knows? Maybe that could be, you know, if he ends up on a tropical island sipping a cocktail, you know, at the end, and everybody else is
dead,
left aside. You know, that would be an interesting ending. Though I don't know if that's exactly what's going to happen. I have a feeling that you know, the crucial things to think about are, I think, his kids, particularly his son and daughter, and also Grey Matter and how that becomes affected at the very end. But
so, what are you thinking? Who's going to live and die, and what's going to go forward? What are your predictions then, as a mentalist?
At this point, well, like I said, my other predictions, I feel like I've scrapped them at this point. So, my current prediction is that I just can't see his kids not living at the very end. So yeah. I have a feeling that there's got to be some kind of something that involves his kids ending up living, and that also means that somebody else has to live in order to take care of the kids.
Maybe Jesse will take care of them.
So then the question is who ends up taking care of them, and then does Jesse live or die is a real big one. And for a while I thought that Jesse's gonna live, but at this point I'm not sure. I think that Jesse might end up taking one for the team at this point, because he's I think he might end up being a martyr in some way. He may, you know, because in many ways, Hank has become. I thought that Hank was going to live at the very end. I really had no idea that he was going to take it so quickly.
Yeah,
so,
that blew me away.
So I'm starting to think that maybe Jesse will end up being the martyr in some way as well. I think that Walt ends up dying in the very end. I think that they've got to take out that character. I have a feeling that Skylar has karmically messed with herself by saying what she said about Jesse, and that she's probably going to go out in some way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it very well might end up being, you know, Skylar's Marie that ends up taking care of the kids at the very end. Though I will say that Marie has kind of messed with herself as well by thinking, you know, evil thoughts about poisoning Walt and stuff like that in his sleep, right, or whatnot. And so, I mean, everybody kind of crossed the line, at least in their moral thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it becomes a question of, you know, what does Vince Gilligan, aka God of Breaking Bad, do to the characters at this point now that they've done these things?
Well, he's certainly developed wonderful characters over the years that you get emotionally involved with, and you're talking about the arc of these characters, even from episode to episode. Sometimes, some weeks you love them, and some weeks you hate them. You wonder, why did he do something so horrible as that? But then you really see the next week he or she has redeemed themselves, you know, some way or another. But I can see that playing out, what you're talking about, you know, where, first of all, the Walt has to be taken out. You mean it's a finite episode. There is a beginning and an end. And this is ultimately a bad thing, an evil thing, and so you can't show that evil is going to win out. I think, you know, it's a bad message. I think that Walt has to die. I mean, for whatever reasons and justification that he had at the beginning, I think that
was always a stopwatch. You know, it was always the clock timer.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
And so it's always the egg timer, excuse me. And so basically, you know, we always knew that eventually Walt was going to die. And one of the most interesting, compelling aspects of the entire series is that there was always this notion that the series ends when Walt dies. So I just think that, you know, that's got to happen.
Oh, that makes sense. Otherwise, the series can go on, kind of like with Dexter. I don't know if you watched that show. You know, I talked with Sean about that yesterday, but the way that ended, there was like a little epilogue in which he was still alive, which could lead to other episodes. Whereas if Walt doesn't die, it makes you think, oh, maybe they can come back. So I think that there is a possibility, a good possibility then, that he has to die, end of the series, that's it. Now, they are going to have a spinoff, you know, with Better Call Saul, you know, so.
Right.
To talk about his other characters and people, I guess, as a prequel that he had worked with, you know, from before, and I can see that. But I think for there to be a beginning and an end, there was a beginning when Walt became Heisenberg, and now there has to be an end where he dies. So I think that will be the coda on that, you know?
Yeah. Now, as far as Saul goes, that's another whole thing. I mean, you know, I don't know whether or not Saul lives or dies. I mean, you know, because you just said that this is about a prequel of Saul, so we don't know if Saul ends up living or dying at the end of Breaking Bad or not either, right?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point then too. You know, that guy gave him a new identity as well, in Omaha. Remember, he said he was going to go work at Cinnabon, you know, be a manager or something. So, perhaps that might be the beginning of his career in Omaha or somewhere. So, but anyhow, any other, ideas or thoughts you had, or people you've talked with who have, their own ideas of what's going to happen?
No, I've been living in my own vacuum as of recently that I don't really talk to anybody else about Breaking Bad besides my wife.
Yeah.
But you're actually the first person I've spoken to about it, you know, besides the people who I have on Facebook.
Yeah.
I think that my definite prediction is that Walt dies by the very end. I do have a feeling that Skyler's not going to make it. I have a feeling that their kids will somehow live on. I think that, I think that perhaps Marie will end up taking care of the kids. I think that Jesse may end up martyring himself. I know that Vince Gilligan has at least one major, you know, trick up his sleeve that we that's going to catch us off guard. You know, and I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I think that Woodworking has something to do with it since he's mentioned that. And you're right. I think that it has something to do with that giant area that Walt built underneath the house, perhaps. That has to do with woodworking. That does some sense. And the house itself, because it's all dilapidated and everything like that, could very well become like, you know, an entire booby trap unto itself from the way Walt would see it.
I can see that. Yeah, he may have been preparing the house just for that implosion and for this potential outcome, you know. So, well, that's interesting. Well, we'll see what's going to be happening here this week. It has been a fun run. Now, let me ask you, as I ask Sean, did you catch up on this somewhere mid-year or mid-season, or did you start watching this from the very beginning?
No, I saw it from the very first episode, and I was hooked. Episode one of season one, in my opinion, was probably one of the most compelling shows I'd ever seen in my life, and I just couldn't stop watching it from that point on.
Wow. Well, yeah, hopefully there'll be a lot of other people who are up on this also, because I've already in my earlier podcast, or rather my interview chat with Sean, I said, okay, spoiler alert, you know, stop the tape right now, so stop listening, because we're going to talk about what's happened. And if people haven't watched the series, then we've been giving away, you know, a lot of information that happens, that they're going to find some surprises. But even given that, you know, as you have just said, you know, go back and start at the beginning. This is just an incredible series.
Yeah, I think that Todd has to bite it also. I don't think that Todd lives on.
That's true. He is the strangest character from the standpoint that being a sociopath that has no morals. He's amoral, you know. I mean, he said, I'm sorry, and I had to shoot somebody. I don't think he's really sorry. He just lives, you know, and he lives or dies. I don't think he has any emotion. It's a very strange character.
Yeah, it's a very strange character. And you know what's really strange about his character is I feel like I know at least one or two people like him. And so,
I think I know one of the guys you're talking about. That's unfortunate.
On that note.
Yes. Well, listen, we've been talking about Breaking Bad. And Elaine, let me just ask where if people want to get in touch with you. Obviously, they can follow you on Facebook, and your website if they want to get in touch with you is what?
My website is www.themanwhoknows.tv. It's currently under construction, but we're going to be up and running very, very soon. And so themanwhoknows.tv, I basically am going to be out on the Caribbean next year. I'm here for a little while and taking care of my 7-year-old daughter and doing a few corporate events and getting ready for the holiday season and Halloween, which I'm going to literally take off just to show my daughter a great time. So,
are you still going to be doing some college shows?
Yeah, I've got a couple of college shows as well going about to happen. I'm going out to the western side of the nation to Boise, Idaho, and to Ontario, Oregon, and then I'm going to be on the other side of the nation doing a show over in Albany, New York. So. So for the most part, college season is kind of slow for me this particular year, just because I'm getting ready to essentially leave the country for a little while. But but otherwise, I'm excited. You know, the family's doing well. The house is starting to look better. Doing home improvements. I'm starting to feel almost normal in the neighborhood.
That's good. Assimilating into the neighborhood and to other type of human life rather than a magician's life and a mentalist life.
Nobody knows what we do in here.
That is funny. Your neighbors, it's like, he does something. He's home all day, but I don't know what he does. And he leaves and comes back, and he does really well. I don't know why. Maybe he's making meth.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the Walt Williams of your neighborhood. I know. People just don't know who you are. So are you going to be going to Mindvention in November?
I am going to try. I'm going to do everything that I can to appear there, and if I don't, it'll only because I've taking a gig somewhere else. But for the most part, I am planning on being there. I'm going to try to, you know, I'm not going to take just anything to not be there. So so I do plan on being.
Because we're going to be having Bob Cassidy as a guest of honor, as you know. So whenever that this comes up, if you make it there, I will definitely be there, and we'll get a chance to chat about some other things other than Breaking Bad. So maybe we can kind of reminisce a little bit and find out what we were right and wrong about, but then talk about some other things, magic and mentalism-wise.
That would be great. I look forward to us to the post-mortem of how it all turns out after this little talk.
Exactly. Well, thanks very much. I appreciate your time. That was Elaine New. And for our Talking Bad episode of the Magic Word podcast, this is Scotty out. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the Magic Word podcast, and we're back again for this third and final little interview or chat, and this time I've got Doug Kahn with me there. Hey, Doug, how are you?
Hey, Scott, and hey, folks.
I am.
I'm doing good, thanks.
Good, good. And you've been getting all caught up. You know, I know that you've been on a lecture tour here for the last month, and you've had a couple, some difficulties catching up on the last couple of episodes, huh?
I was off both Sundays, happily, expecting to watch The Breaking Bad each night, and each night I managed to pick a hotel that did not have AMC.
Amazing.
I guess one of the satellite channels, I think it's Dish Network, doesn't have AMC, and I picked it both nights, so I ended up buying the episodes on iTunes. They're for sale, so I tossed up $2.99 each, and I am up to speed and have no idea what's coming up. I can't fathom how they're going to wrap it up.
Well,
yeah,
I was going to say, that's what I wanted to talk about then also, how do we think that it might be wrapped up. But, you know, just before we started recording this, that you were saying that you were going back and downloading the first episode of this this season. You know, it's interesting, too, because I've never seen a season the way that this is. They had season 8. It was broken up into two parts. So it was like the first six and then the next six of season 8. And so...
Well, on iTunes, it's season 5 and 6. It's technically season 5. But if you want to buy it by the season on iTunes, they're calling the second half season 6. So
the second half season 6.
How you look at it. Yeah.
So it was just the 6 seasons. It wasn't 8 seasons.
It's 5 seasons. On AMC, it's 5 seasons. But on iTunes, they're calling it 6 seasons.
Gotcha. And so you were downloading that one, and you had reminded me something that is the way that this first episode of season 6, if you will, began. And go ahead and talk about that and the license plate and all that.
Yeah, well, I remember, because he was in a restaurant, and he had made his birthday breakfast with bacon, right? Or his, so
about 52, right?
Right. And then he meets a guy in the bathroom and gives him some money. And I remember he opens the trunk, and I think there's a gun in the car.
I've got to
assume that, you know, he gets, you know, of course he gets away from the last conundrum he's in. Conundrum,
right.
No pun intended, but anyway... So he's probably heading to save his family in some form or fashion.
And you were saying also that he had the license plate said New Hampshire, which was the Granite State from the last episode.
That's correct, which is, I guess, where he ended up being secretly relocated to, right?
That's correct, yeah. And so that was the way that this last week's episode ended, where he was going to take off.
Right.
And so now he's going to be, I guess, wrapping it up and getting back home. And so, that's what I wanted to talk with you and these other magicians, because, you know, magicians are good at keeping secrets and also trying to figure out secrets. And so a lot of times that we're guessing because we don't know what the secret is. In this particular time, it is purely speculation in which that we don't know anything. It's all we're guessing like all the rest of the fans. So what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I'll tell you, on one of the lecture stops, I had a talk with Brian O'Neill, and he had a great guess. I thought at the time that the lottery ticket would come into play.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, he had a lottery ticket that had the
coordinates
location where all the money was buried, right?
Right.
Now, after we're watching the last two episodes, I think it's a little past that. You know, I think we're months in, that's probably too far gone to, you know, come into play. So after watching the very last episode of the season, not the very one, but the one before last, mm-hmm. I think it's going to have something to do with the company that he helped start.
Gray Matter.
When the lady acknowledged that he had something to do with the company, and it's a company that's worth billions, that he goes click and figured it out. So I'm looking for that to come into play somehow.
That's a good point.
The safe way out.
Like the what?
The safe way out, you know, without having to spend drug money or,
right.
You know, in other words, his namesake gets carried on and, you know, his wife can live honorably. I'm assuming he's going to die, you know. I think he's probably Walter's going to pass on, probably in a moment of valor when he saves his family or Jesse. And then hopefully they will honorably live through his namesake, that being Gray Matter Technology.
You know, I hadn't thought about that, but that's a very good thought there, because certainly as far as the money that he goes, if he goes back and gets, you know, Todd and all those guys, the Todd squad, and kills all them and gets the money back, that's still drug money that the government will...
I think they're going to go. I think he's going to get them for sure, but I just don't think he's going to get that money back from them.
Well, even if he does, it's a good point that the government will keep that, just as they had the other guy before when he kept trying to give it to his granddaughter. So any money that he has, you know, gotten to ill-gotten gains, so that makes sense, exactly what you're talking about.
The son refuted the money he was sending. Remember? He said, I'm sending you $100,000. And the son was like, you know, get away from me. Fuck all the money. He doesn't even want to bleep that out. But, yeah, the kid apparently doesn't want anything to do with the ill-gotten gains. So,
however, that the gray matter is something that would have been acquired legitimately. So, if some way, remember they were going to be giving something like $28 million or something, you know, towards drug rehabilitation. And so, perhaps if they go back and he forces them to recognize, hey, I actually was part of the team who created this company, and I want you to provide for my family. And then after he has already killed off the rest of the people, and then he dies, because I think he's going to maybe die from ricin poisoning, and then
he's still got that thing. That's right. Yep.
Right, and so because that's not something that happens immediately, so he will go and then force the gray matter people to make sure that his family is provided for, so they'll give them something that is legitimate money that they can, you know, live the rest of their lives with. So I think Skyler will be fine, you know, their son and daughter. That's a good thought. Good theory.
Yeah. Nice to know that I'm the first to have thought of it, at least so far.
Well, everybody has their own ideas and own theories, certainly, and I know everybody out there listening has theirs as well. So maybe we just had a few other things, some pieces to try to put this whole thing together.
The real surprise will be how AMC is able to pull all this off in 1 hour show. I can't fathom how fast this is going to move. It's going to be... quite a doozy.
It will be a doozy, that's for sure. I'm surprised, too, that it won't be a two-hour finale. I mean, it certainly could easily have...
I thought this season started off a little slow, the second half, and maybe they should have sped up some of the first part and say, we'll see. I don't know. So, you know, Vince Gilligan?
Right, the creator.
He's a genius. He's a genius writer, obviously. So if it can be done, he can do it. And let me tell you, on my list of things to do, meeting that guy has made it on the top 10. You know, I would certainly love to talk to him for an evening.
Now, he's a brilliant writer, certainly. Well,
I did get to see them win the Emmy. While I was missing the show itself, the Emmys were on, and Neil Patrick Harris did a wonderful job. The hosting and represented us magicians well, as he is the current president of the AMA.
Mm-hmm.
He did some magic. He did one trick in that show, which is great. But at the end of that show, the Breaking Bad won the best drama. So.
And the lady who played Skyler also won, I think, for best actress.
Yeah. Surprisingly, Walter didn't win. But
nor did Jesse.
That was a snub, in my opinion.
Well, he has won, I believe, in the past. However, that Aaron...
Okay. I didn't know that.
I believe he has, but
that would make sense.
Yeah, but the fellow who plays Jesse, Aaron Paul, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Jesse won too, yes.
I don't know. Did he win? I think he should have because he had such a range of emotions over the season.
No doubt, especially right now. He is just in the thick of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so, you know, let me ask you, what do you think is going to happen then to Jesse? That's, you know, part of the component then. I mean, we know, okay, we think the Todd squad is going to get killed. We think that Skyler and her family will be fine, and Maria, Hank's wife, I guess, also. But what do you think will happen then to Jesse?
That's something I really hadn't even considered, but I would kind of, off the top of my head, think he goes out with Walter in some form in a blaze of glory, you know, in a Butch and Sundance fashion, maybe. He, as bad of a shape as he's in and as good as he's been in the last few episodes, I still think he's been one of the worst of the worst the whole way through. So,
right.
No tears will be shed if he bites the bullet, you know.
Well, there have been some things in which he has shown a true emotional side, and
they all have.
Where they've shown a moral compass pointing in the right direction, but other times it's like, wow, that is just bad.
Well, like the whole roller coaster started with him. So,
yes.
You know, really,
You know, I can see that. I could see that if Walt would have something as far as trying to kill everybody with ricin in the building, you know, the Todd squad, and Jesse is there because he's being held captive, that perhaps that he may be with Walt when they go back and try to confront Gray Matter to get them to make sure they give money, back to his family and whatever. So, and then he and Jesse both die. But, you know, when Vince Gilligan had talked about this being, or, you know, from Mr. Chips to Scarface, you know, I think of Scarface of going out in a blaze of glory, if you will, you know, machine guns blazing. And so that's what makes me tend to think it's going to be some sort of a shootout like it was with Hank and Gomez and the Todd squad, you know.
Yeah. I don't see it ending any other way. I can't believe Jesse's alive right now. That's just nuts.
Wow, that's for sure. He has hung on and hung on, you know, when I think each week this is his last, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I did want to ask your opinion on this because of your street sense, being a street magician that you are, that you have a lot of good common sense and street sense and savvy, that you've talked with other people kind of about this. You know, the other people I've spoken with, I've talked with Sean McMaster, who is a comedy magician. I just spoke with Elaine New, who is a mentalist, thinking, okay, you are good with predictions, and so you can talk about what's happening in the future. And here you are, of course, then. Wrapping it up, our triumvirate of people we've spoken to, kind of with your opinions then, too, giving us street smarts.
For the record, I've never touched such a substance, although I was in Albuquerque where they shot the episodes, and one of the funniest things is a kid came into Max Krause's magic shop, and they were selling blue rock candy, like little bags of meth.
Funny.
Like for a dollar. I can sell it for two. It was so nuts.
While you were in Albuquerque, did you go by, is there an A1 car wash?
I don't know that it was A1. I did get a snap of a car wash just to make sure I had it. But I did, at the lecture in Albuquerque, I drove by if you remember where they picked up Walt and was going to pick up Jesse, there was a big flood wall there. And right as I pulled in the lecture, I noticed it, and the guy mentioned it. He said, yep, that's right down from my house, and where Hank and his wife lived was literally feet from where the lecture was. So, man, that whole area is beautiful, and, you know, just being near that while the India shows were going on.
Right.
And I didn't get to watch it. Like, how crazy is that? I'm in New Mexico and not watching Breaking Bad. At a La Quinta, of all things. Come on.
Yeah, actually. Sure, it should be next to Denny's. That's what La Quinta means.
So my street sense was not so keen there, at least I got to see it before the final episode. I'm up to speed.
Good. Well, hopefully you'll be someplace in the Sunday night so that you can catch the final episode and see what's going on.
Home sweet home, baby. I'm wrapping it up tonight, and I'm going to drive overnight and surprise the family, and I'll be there tomorrow. So.
Great.
I'll be comfortable on the couch Sunday, waiting along with the rest of
the rest of the world. Yep, and then we'll kind of find out how we actually did on our guessing this Breaking Bad episode. So for people
I can't wait to hear the other guesses.
When and so if people want to get in touch with you, what is your website? How can they get in touch with you?
Doug Conn, DougConn.com. It's C-O-N-N, DougConn.com. I got a blog, conjure.blogspot. But DougConn.com, it's all there.
That's with two N, C-O-N-N, DougConn.
Yep.
.com. Got it. Very good. Well, thank you very much for your 2 cents worth over there and what you think is going to be happening, and we will all wait and see what's going to happen.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Scott.
All right. That was Doug Conn, and for the Magic Word Podcast, have an A1 day.